And good morning. You're tuned to KGNU's Morning Magazine. And lots to cover today because it's the day before the 2020 election, Monday, November 2nd. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. I'm Roz Brown. Coming up on the magazine today, if you've waited to drop your ballot until this week or plan on voting in person tomorrow, we'll have instructions and advice from the Boulder County Clerk's Office. To encourage voting by Democrats, locals have spent months writing reminder postcards. We'll share more coming up. The Longmont Leader newspaper has stepped up this year to provide a voter guide in Spanish for the 2020 elections. Rosanna Longo-Better will share a report on how that came about. And in case you're wondering why I'm here instead of Maeve Conran, we'll share an interview with Maeve about her KGNU departure and what's next for our longtime news director. After that, at the bottom of the hour, it's an update from the BBC and a commentary from Jim Hightower, followed by a public affair with Frank Dabowski this morning, and at 9 a.m. Counterspin, a weekly look at fairness and accuracy in reporting. But first, today's local and regional headlines start us off. Here's Jamie Sudler.
More than 2.5 million Coloradans have cast their ballots as of yesterday morning. That's more than two-thirds of the state's active voters. The Denver Post reports that Democrats are leading the way in percentage of active voters registered with the party who have turned in their ballots with over 77%, followed by Republicans at over 71% and unaffiliated at about 62%. Judd Choate, the state's election director, said on Twitter that at this pace, Colorado could be the first state ever to reach 80% turnout among eligible voters. Besides the polarization over the presidential race, one of the reasons for high turnout could be Proposition 115, one of the 11 statewide issues on the ballot. If approved, the measure would ban abortions after the 22nd week of pregnancy. It's attracted the most money this year and has drawn national attention. By yesterday morning, shops along the 16th Street Mall in downtown Denver had boarded up their windows with plywood to protect against looting and rioting. The Denver Post reports that many of them were damaged or burglarized earlier this year during civil unrest after George Floyd's death. Last week, Denver officials warned downtown businesses to prepare for social unrest around the election. Denver police have opened a command post for the Emergency Operations Center to monitor events as the election unfolds. Polling places in Colorado will open at 7 a.m. tomorrow. And if you're waiting until then to vote and haven't arranged transportation, there's a free option in Boulder and Denver. Sarah Michaels with Boulder's B-Cycle says the nonprofit will offer free 30-minute bike passes to help people more easily get to their polling place.
Roll to the polls. That's a national campaign that we're a part of with close to 50 other organizations across the country. Not everyone has access to personal transportation, so it's breaking down those barriers for people to get to the polls or to a drop box.
Michael says a normal 30-minute pass costs $8. The easiest way to access a pass is by downloading the B-Cycle app at boulder.bcycle.com. That's boulder.bcycle.com. Once there, you see the locations of bike docking stations, how many bikes are available, and make a reservation. Roll to the Polls is part of a national campaign and includes free rides from Lyft in many locations. It's been 4 months since Denver Mayor Michael Hancock announced that the city would create its first sanctioned homeless encampment, but that promise has failed to materialize. Two sites were proposed but abandoned as local residents and businesses objected. The Denver Post reports that advocates for those without homes are frustrated and disappointed, and some are blaming the mayor for the failure. Kathy Alderman of the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless said that finding a place for the sanctioned encampment wasn't a priority for Mayor Hancock, and he never put a lot of political will behind it. City officials said that they're working diligently to find a site. The chief housing officer said that in the meantime they have opened up temporary shelters and a number of people coming inside has been up. At the same time, however, Hancock's administration has continued to clear out illegal encampments around town, contrary to the recommendations of federal and other public health experts. Boulder County officials announced on Saturday that they had pushed back the date to reach full containment of the Calwood fire to November 9th. They had hoped to reach containment over the weekend. Sunday evening, the Boulder Office of Emergency Management said on its website that the fire remains at 76% containment and did not increase in size or produce much smoke yesterday. Firefighters continued mop-up work and were assisted with water drops from a helicopter to cool isolated hotspots. Firefighters were also able to gain more access in the rugged and steep area along Highway 7 to work hotspots in that uncontained area more directly. Hotter and drier weather is expected over the next couple of days, but no significant wind events are in the forecast. The Cameron Peak fire west of Fort Collins remains at close to 65% containment and almost 209,000 acres, despite wind gusts of up to 50 miles per hour on Saturday. The Coloradoan reports that unlike earlier, when warmer, drier days spelled concern for spread of the fire, Saturday's weather enhanced the firefighters' ability to get their jobs done. Areas that are still showing heat include portions of the south edge of the fire, including near Storm Mountain and Glen Haven, as well as near the Colorado State University Mountain Campus. The East Troublesome Fire in Grand County is up to 37% containment as of Sunday evening, after burning more than 190,000 acres. The County Emergency Management Office held a two-hour visitation for residents on Saturday into evacuated areas of the fire. In a Facebook post, Sheriff Brett Schrutline said that yesterday's temporary reentry process was incredibly difficult as many community members saw the devastation and their losses for the first time since the fire swept through the area on October 20th. For the next 5 days, the forecast is the same: sunny skies in the daytime with highs around 70 and nighttime lows in the mid-40s and no precipitation. For KGNU, I'm Jamie Sudler.
It's the day before Election Day. If you're not a Boulder County resident who has already voted by mail and you want to cast your ballot on Election Day, what should you know? How should you be prepared?
Well, we are absolutely prepared if that's you'd like to vote in person on Election Day. We have 20 vote centers open throughout the county. They're open on Election Day at 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and also today on Monday till 6 p.m. So if you do want to avoid those lines, they're open today. And make sure to bring an ID with you to vote in person. And the most common forms of ID here in Colorado are, of course, your Colorado driver's license or ID card. You can also bring a current passport. And if you're a CU student, we can't accept out-of-state driver's licenses, but the CU Bus One card is an ID. So you can bring your student ID with you. And if you are a student, if you live on campus, you need to make sure to know your mailbox number to register to vote. So, and you can also, there's also many other potential IDs. And so if you go to govotecolorado.gov, that has a whole list of other acceptable IDs, such as utility bill, bank statements, and whatnot.
Well, we're seeing all these lines all around the country. Are you expecting that? Should people be bringing food? Should they be bringing a chair?
Well, luckily here in Colorado, the majority of our voters vote the mail ballot that's sent to them. So we don't anticipate extremely long lines, but we've had record turnout thus far. And so we want, if you do have a mail ballot, that, of course, is the safest way to vote. And there's many drop box locations for you to drop that off. But if you need a replacement ballot, we have a ballot to go service where we can bring it out to your car. And we want to be prepared for everything. And of course, we're staffed well, and we hope to keep those lines at a minimum.
We're one day before the election. What can you tell us about ballots already cast? Anything?
We definitely have seen record turnout for this point in the election. So we are really excited, and we're hoping to get extremely high and universal record turnout this election.
All right. Well, many states are expecting trouble at the polls with agitators at the courthouse doors, that kind of thing. I hope we don't expect that in Boulder County, but are you prepared for such a thing?
Absolutely. We, as with this election and every election, we work closely with law enforcement, the county sheriff, as well as the police in every city that we're in. And we've been in constant contact with them. They know where all our vote centers are. They know where all our drop boxes are. We have an open line of communication in both directions. And we also encourage members of the public, if they see something, to say something, to get in touch with us immediately. And because we take any voter intimidation threats seriously. So we absolutely want to hear about that, if that's occurring, to let our election judges know. And obviously, if there's an immediate danger, to call 911.
Well, you were there in 2016 for the last presidential election with the Boulder County Clerk. How has this been different to prepare for?
This election is different because I would say people are really, we had record high turnout. I believe 88% of active voters ended up casting their ballots in that election. We're on track to match that, I believe. I think the difference between 2016 and 2020 is we've actually, our predictions for when people are returning their ballots has been completely surpassed. So we are ahead of when we receive those ballots already. Every day throughout this election, we had so many people return their ballots the first week we definitely had somewhat of a backup, also obviously with COVID precautions in our ballot processing center. So, but we love it. We love to see people cast those ballots early. It definitely has been helping. And even if you can get your ballot in today, Monday, that is a great help because it helps us enter Election Day with as many ballots processed already as possible. And do note that we don't run a tabulation report until until 7 p.m. on election night when we post those results. So, but people voting early has been, I think, the trend across the nation, and we definitely see that here in Boulder County.
Okay, and you can, it's Monday and you've already voted, you can track your ballot, right?
Correct. So we have Ballot Track, and you can sign up at our website, bouldercountyvotes.org, to track your mail ballot. Do note that you have to give us at least a day or so to get that registered through the system as received. So, you know, if you drop it off Monday morning, you may not get that notification until the next day. So you have to be a little bit patient because, again, we're having seen record turnout. And also, if you happen to drop off your ballot after our couriers just came by 20 minutes before, we may not be there immediately to get that ballot. But in general, yes, it's a great way. Just give us a day or two. And you can also look at govotecolorado.gov. And if you pull up your registration and if you look at your ballot information, that page also is refreshed with that information as well about how you whether your ballot's been received.
You've been listening to an interview with Mircalla Wozniak with the Boulder County Clerk's Office. Ready or not, tomorrow is the day, the long-anticipated 2020 election. And remember, there isn't time to mail your ballot and have it received and counted by tomorrow's deadline. You need to use a ballot drop box or vote in person. In the meantime, one day away, and there are a lot of folks in Boulder walking around with writer's cramp from penning postcards to Democrats as a reminder to vote. It's part of the Blue Wave postcard movement. Ning Mossberger Tang has been one of the organizers of the Boulder Writing Frenzy, which includes more than 400 postcard groups in 38 states.
So we started the Blue Wave Postcard Movement to organize volunteers to write postcards to voters in battleground states. So right now we have more than 4,000 volunteers in our movement, and we have written more than 1.7 million postcards to voters in battleground states. They are either Democratic voters who register as a Democrat or independent voters who are voting Democratic. It was really fun. I mean, that's why we keep going, and I like to other people to have fun too. We just get to do a lot of this together. In the beginning, we had in-person meetings every week, and then after COVID hit, we moved the meetings to virtual meetings. So we have been doing that on Zoom every week, and it's just fun. And to have all these people to do this together, and we just feel very supportive of each other and being able to achieve something together. And sometimes we feel helpless, but being able to do this together and create an impact and get other people out to vote, especially people in the key states, we just feel like we are doing something very meaningful together. And then we can get over this, I think, a very dark page of the American history, and we start to rebuild a better country together. Yeah, that's my hope. Feel back better.
Again, that's Ning Mossberger Tang, who helped organize the Blue Wave Postcard Movement in Boulder. And this afternoon on Metro, the topic will be transparency and fairness in elections with Amanda Gonzalez. Executive Director of the Common Cause Colorado speaks with KGNU's Miriam Schiff at 3 o'clock.
We know that Colorado was one of the first to have mail-in ballots, and we seem to be on the cutting edge of making sure that the voters are able to vote, whether it's absentee, whether it's mail-in, whether it's going to the polls, early voting.
We have the gold standard election laws in the country. We really have a model that is good for voters no matter what. We have been lucky in that we haven't heard about acute issues at polling places. There haven't been lines thus far. I think that the thing that most affects Colorado voters is understanding that we have such good laws. We have laws that really want voters to vote. And so oftentimes voters hear about a law in another state and don't necessarily realize that it's different in Colorado.
Again, join Miriam Schiff at 3 o'clock this afternoon for KGNU's Metro to hear the full interview with Amanda Gonzalez from Common Cause Colorado. Latino voters in Colorado are a growing force on the electoral map and could have an impact depending on their numbers. The Longmont Leader newspaper received support from the American Press Institute to publish a Longmont voter guide in Spanish. Rosanna Longo-Better spoke with the Longmont Leader editors, Macy May and Sylvia Solis.
The Longmont Leader, a local newspaper in Longmont, received support from the American Press Institute and recently published a whole section in Spanish with relevant reports for the Latino Hispanic community and with a whole section about the 2020 elections.
So when the Longmont Observer was kind of going away, the Mandy Jenkins with the Compass Experiment was coming into town and wanted to bring the Longmont Leader here. She and I chatted about what that would look like, what was important to Longmont, what are some of the things that maybe I wanted as they asked me to come on as their editor. And I said, one of my biggest passion projects, this never really left, was this project of, you know, actually having someone who could be that cultural broker, could help with that divide and understand the culture that exists in Longmont versus, again, just translating word for word. And so that's kind of how this project began with the Leader and why we took our time with it, because it was too important for us to find somebody who was going either willing or already involved in the Latino community.
The Longmont Leader Voter Guide goes beyond translation of resources, says Macy May. It also provides access to community partners who have provided a different media to make sure that people will access information and that it will be available for people for all abilities.
Our voter guide right now, going beyond just translating some resources and providing those in a language in Spanish for people who need to access that. But we've also kind of worked with our community partners, like the League of Women Voters and Longmont Public Media, who have produced debates in both languages. So we've also been providing some video services linking to video services that they provided so that, you know, folks who speak Spanish but maybe don't read Spanish, because some people don't like to read or can't read or for whatever reason, there's some other multimedia there that, you know, we're trying to grow that and to make it accessible for people of all abilities and all languages.
What the Leader wants to do with this resource is to motivate residents to be civically engaged.
We live in this tight-knit community where lots of things are happening. And what we want, and even our political leaders here in town, we want every resident to be civically engaged.
That is Macy May, editor of the Longmont Leader, talking about the project of implementing more Spanish in their reporting. Silvia Romero Solis is the bilingual reporter who has been hired to be the bridge between the local media and the community. Silvia Solis explains how the Spanish information will benefit anyone who speaks Spanish, but also will benefit the community in general by bringing awareness of accessibility to information and language justice.
The information, the Spanish language information, it really is to benefit anyone who speaks Spanish in this community. So I think we're getting started on getting content in Spanish now, but I think the goal is for anyone who speaks Spanish to benefit from it. And it's not just about the Hispanic, the Latino, and the Spanish-speaking population. I think it's also about the community in general, so that through this having both English and Spanish information and resources, it also brings awareness to the community that this is important to have, that we have a large percentage of the population here in Longmont who speaks Spanish, who has this cultural background as Hispanics and Latino, and that we want to make the community in general aware that this is about language access to and social justice in that sense.
The voter guide shows how to register to vote, when to register to vote, who who is eligible to register to vote, how to cast your ballot, how to vote in person, how to know your ballot is being processed, and provides other voter resources.
Es un momento importante, es un año de elecciones importante, y esa es la razón por la que hemos traído recursos, tratar de traducir y producir información que sea relevante y oportuna en estos momentos, para que la gente pueda acceder en español y tenga acceso a esa información. Y asimismo que la gente en la comunidad pueda compartirlo con sus redes, con sus conocidos, para que más gente pueda tener acceso.
That is Silvia Solis, bilingual reporter, talking about the importance of providing information in Spanish to the community in an election year. For KGNU, I am Rosana Longo-Better.
And it's 8:24. You're listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. Finally today, for those of you who missed it, longtime KGNU News Director Maeve Conran officially signed off last Friday on to other challenges and adventures, but promising to lend her voice and talents to KGNU on a regular basis, we spoke last week about moving on.
Maeve, I think we all have a time at certain jobs or in our career when it's just time to make a change. Why was this a time for you to make a change?
Well, this has been an extraordinary year for everybody. It's been incredible to actually be able to report on what's happened with the COVID-19 pandemic, but also what's going on politically right now and what we saw with the protests around racial justice during the summer. But it's also a time where I guess I've been a little bit evaluating my own life and busyness and in the context of my family, and sort of have decided now that, this is time to pass the mantle, pass the baton on to the next generation of news directors or programmers. And, obviously, like with every family, we're dealing with a mixture of homeschooling and online schooling and going to school some days. And it's gotten to the point where I think I want to turn my focus that way for a little bit, but also still stay engaged with news and radio, but just to get away from the frantic nature that is the daily news, and to really pass the baton on to the next generation, because I do think, that's such a hallmark of KGNU, is welcoming folks in and training them, whether it's a news production or music production, and constantly expanding our family of producers. And so I'm excited for the station to see what lies ahead.
So let's backtrack a minute. I know people have probably tuned into KGNU over the years and thought, wow, that announcer, producer, reporter has an Irish accent. And I was curious initially when I came to KGNU to volunteer for the second time, how did you come to be at KGNU from Ireland?
Well, I ended up, first of all, in Boulder. My husband is from here. And met him many, many years ago, traveling around Alaska, but ended up in Colorado, gosh, more than 20 years ago. And I just absolutely adore it. And then he's a lifelong listener to KGNU, going back many, many, many years. And so when we moved here, it was a radio station that was always on in the car, in the kitchen. And I was just absolutely intrigued. And then I heard there was an opportunity to get involved as a volunteer. So I came along. I think maybe I answered phones in a fund drive and helped produce the community calendar. And then with Sam Fuqua, who was the news director at the time, helped out with headlines and started getting involved in news producing. And so really it was that way, just kind of like with so many people. You move to the area and you discover the radio station and it opens up a whole world of possibilities.
And how long have you been with KGNU? I believe you started as a volunteer.
Well, I've been on staff since 2007, but I was a volunteer long before that, probably for about 5 or 6 years before that. As I said, kind of off-air, but then doing on-air stuff as well, helping with radio training, with some of the youth summer camps, doing news production. And then I was able to do some freelance stuff for some shows that our listeners might remember from back in the day, Free Speech Radio News through Pacifica, the daily Indian news service that we used to play as well. And then, I was so fortunate the opportunity came to actually be on staff in the news department. And so I came on as an assistant to Joel Edelstein back in 2007. And then really that was 13 years ago, and it's gone by in a flash. But, there's been so many things that have really just stood out in my memory, from covering the DNC in Denver in 2008 to, of course, all the local events that have happened in Colorado. And everything has just been it's been incredible to view all those changes from the news department, to get to report on them as well. So, yeah, it's been a while, but I'm going to continue to be involved as a volunteer as well. That's another hallmark of KGNU, is that it really is a truly community space, and we all do feel like family, so we never really leave. We just sort of move into different roles.
What's been the most challenging thing about managing local and regional news?
I think it's the pace. It's just constant. Before, there used to be, I guess, a seasonal nature to news. We knew when the state legislature was in session, when city council would be meeting, county commissioners, we'd have a big annual calendar, and we could look at all the big things that would be happening around elections. Now it seems to be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not even just the national or international, but even like the local events that are happening. And there is that expectation that we have to cover us, which we do as a news department. So it's definitely gotten more frenetic. There's more to cover, it seems, a faster pace to us. And then, of course, the digital aspect of all of this, we need to not just have our news out on the radio waves, but also in a digital form and putting it out on social media. And so it's definitely, I think, the speed at which we're expected to have news produced, but just the sheer volume of news that seems to be coming at us all the time as well. That's definitely, I think, one of the biggest changes.
And do you have one or two stories or assignments or moments that really stand out, something that really moved you, or you thought, wow, this is why I do radio?
I've always enjoyed the interviews with members of the community, people who share their stories with me. I've always felt that was a huge privilege to have people share their stories. I've done interviews recently with a family with the mom has early onset Alzheimer's, and they invited me to their home to share the story and to talk about the impact on their family. You know, I've had people who shared the stories of how they've been impacted by suicide and how they want to educate the community on the stigma of all of this, and people who've shared their end-of-life stories. You know, I've done a quarterly series for a few years on end-of-life issues, and the guests that come on and just share their own journeys and these extraordinary circumstances, they've always stayed with me. You know, when people take the time to sit and tell you their own experiences. And then, of course, the young undocumented immigrants that I've gotten to talk to over the years, who have been working absolutely tirelessly to get legal recognition and legal status despite all the political chaos. It's been a real honor to hear those stories and to in some way help to maybe amplify those voices. But those voices of community members who are just out there working so hard and dealing with so much, who take time to share their story with me, and then the listeners, those are the ones that always stay with me.
And finally, I know you alluded to staying involved with KGNU for at least one show, and I think that's all about books. So please tell us about that.
Well, that's the Radio Book Club, which has been my absolute passion project. I love it to bits. This is a collaboration with the Boulder Bookstore and my very dear friend, Arsene Kashkashian. And this started, gosh, 5-6 years ago with an annual, well, we used to do it every December, best books of the year, and we'd have Arsene on and some other booksellers to talk about what books have been, you know, hot sellers and what they're excited about every year. And that really then evolved into this monthly Radio Book Club, which has just been a joy to do. And particularly during the coronavirus, we've still managed to keep it going. We've always done it in person with authors. There was a time during the summer that wasn't possible, but we did it by Zoom. Now we're sort of reconvening back in the bookstore because their big grand ballroom on the second floor offers us enough space so we can all be sitting like 10, 15 feet apart. So that I'm going to continue to do because I absolutely love doing it. And so that's the monthly Radio Book Club, the fourth Thursday of every month, 9 o'clock.
KGNU listeners are going to miss you. We all appreciate your service to the community. Thank you so much for letting us wake up to your voice all these years. It's been a comfort to know I can turn to 88.5 FM and listen to the news and that Maeve Conran will be delivering it. So thank you again so much and best of luck to you.
And as we transition here at KGNU in our news department, I'll be with you on Mondays and Fridays. And our former news director, as well as our former general manager, Sam Fuqua, will be here Tuesday through Thursday.